town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk
Podcast. For the people, by the people.
Was that a question? That was a question.
Andy, that wasn't typical. Start over.
Podcast for the people, by the people.
Oh, there you go.
There's radio voice.
Yeah. What do you, like, just because it's early morning or something?
Change things up.
Oh, okay.
You have enough coffee yet?
Season's changing, yeah. Oh, I've had plenty of coffee, but I'll have some more.
So this is your third?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. You always have, like, two pots by the end of the day, so.
Quite a bit.
I'm going to start off with, we always tell folks, go to the Farm Focused website, use the code COMMONFOLK. Sometimes folks use it, sometimes don't, but I want to shout one out so that people realize this is a real thing, okay?
All right.
Like, we're not liars or what?
This is from Chad D. I'm not going to say his last name so people don't Facebook stalk him. But if you're out there, Chad D. from Missouri, he went on and placed an order. He got a Common Folk hoodie.
Okay.
He got some Watson gloves. He got a Millennial Farmer calendar. He got a Welker leather patch hat. And he got a free Farm Focused hat. And he used the code and he got 20% off of all of it.
Fantastic.
Chad, you're the man.
That's highway robbery.
Hey, you got to get in where you fit in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we advertise it. You better do it.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you for going on there and buying. Anybody else who's interested, go to the Farm Focused website. farmfocused.com. Use the code COMMONFOLK. You get 20% off anything.
I'm a little confused that you're saying this at the front end. Normally you do this at the end.
I just like to mix it up.
See? You guys are throwing me off today. I can't handle this.
Yeah, I like to mix it up.
Well, okay. Talking about the seasons changing, you know, you hear the sounds change too. And
yeah.
I was out with the dog this morning, early this morning, right before sunup, and the sounds those birds make, it's like, okay, this is turkey season. It sounds like turkey season now. Yeah. And that also means that it's barbed wire fence fixing season. So
is it the
no stranger to that?
Yeah.
Is it the like the robins or whatever? Is that the noise you're hearing?
Oh, I don't know the.
Yeah.
What is that thing? I don't know. I don't know what bird that is.
Doesn't your mother-in-law? Isn't she obsessed with birds?
She is.
Okay. Yeah. Like I remember.
She's
this.
A bird. Yeah, she is a bird person.
All right. So you should probably ask.
I should know. Okay. I bet Ashley knows.
Come on.
I had saw something, it must have been online or whatever the other day, that they've basically like proven that noise from the birds in the spring makes plants grow.
Not.
Really?
Yeah, like somehow plants are responding to that.
What is that? Like the a vibration. Symbiotic relationship between the
frequency.
The plants?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could go for that.
Like it's somehow like triggering the plants like, hey, it's getting to be that time of year.
Hey, yeah.
Start.
It's time to grow. We need you. Get going here.
That's pretty wild, though.
So what happens when snow comes April 1st?
Whoops.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Just saying.
A little extra zing.
Yeah.
But I feel the same way, man. Like, I noticed that. I think it was last week. You know, just stepping outside, just kind of the feeling in the air and the noise, and you're like, ah, man, it's feeling like spring.
It's a crisp. It's not cold. You know, it goes from, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you can tell.
But did it officially change, like, spring? Like, we're official.
Did that happen?
I think it did.
I don't know.
Yeah. No one can confirm.
I don't know what the date is. Okay. I feel like it was, last
21st.
Week.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
All right. So we are.
Yeah, so
we
just a few days in.
All right. Okay.
Okay, good.
So then there's absolutely no more snow coming. That's just...
I still hate the time change.
Do you?
You hate it?
I heard it was going to be our last one.
I mean, I don't like it when it changes the first few days, but don't you get used to it? You like the other?
To me, just leave one or the other.
I don't care. Oh, yes. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Like okay.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it. Today, we've got a gentleman here. His name's Josh Freiberger. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. So you run a... nice little clap.
Golf clap.
I think I've got... Don't I have a... Wait, let me see. I think I got a clap thing.
No.
Hold on.
There we go. Yeah, we got to get on that. Yeah.
Welcome.
Come on down, drummer.
So Josh owns and runs Hague Angus Ranch. That's correct, right?
Correct. Hague Angus Ranch.
Hague Angus Ranch. And you're outside of Alliance, Nebraska.
Correct. Yep.
Cool. So...
Western side of the Sandhills.
Yep. Okay. So... What we wanted to do was talk to Josh today about his ranching operation and a couple of unique things that he does and then get into a couple of things that he does with the beef and some products that are out there that are pretty neat that we've been introduced to. So to start with, let's talk about kind of how you came up. Were you born and raised in that area?
Yeah, so our operations, I'll be five generation. My four kids will be six generations. So pretty cool stuff to be
a yeah.
generation. Heck yeah.
You know, cow-calf is what we've been for 150 years, basically. So that's what we primarily focus on is cow-calf. And then I've expanded into other ventures, I guess, is kind of what I'm an outside-the-box guy. So
yeah.
Do things a little bit different than some conventional cow-calf operations, but in the heart of it, it's cow-calf and then seed stock with bull sales and stuff like that. So,
You sell your own bulls?
Yeah, we sell.
Oh, when'd you get into that?
So Hay Genghis Ranch is something I formed, I think this will be 14, 15 years ago. My dad was 909 Cattle Company, and prior to that was, the Peterson Brothers, the Mule Shoe Bar Ranch, which was over 100,000 acres. They had 15,000 Hereford cows, and five generations later, it's just my little deal that I have. And then, obviously, my mom and dad are still at the place. My brother and his wife and family run half of it. I run the other half of it. And we sell Angus seed stock bulls. We've sold into 41 states, two Canadian provinces. We've sent semen to South America, kind of been all over. So, So.
Do you remember the year where, because everyone ran Herefords, that was the way it was. If you had cattle, they're Herefords. Do you remember the year where you switched from Herefords to Angus?
Yeah, it's been, my grandpa introduced Simmental, which is when we got, that's when my dad always says they got really good at pulling calves.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got 900 to 1,000 pound Hereford cows. But that was in 78, I think.
Okay.
When my grandpa started introducing crossbreeding kind of through the 80s and then some Red Angus. And then my dad bought his first Black Angus bull in 86 or 87.
Yep.
And we've been Black Angus ever since.
Yep.
And it was always just a commercial cow-calf operation. And
okay.
I made the investment into registered Angus Association papered animals and started that, doing that about 15 years ago. And my first year in business, I sold eight bulls, and then it's just kind of spawned from there. So,
what's the draw for the Angus breed as opposed to any of the other ones?
Well, a lot of it was branding. They did to me, parts of the Angus brand, through certified Angus beef, has almost gotten too much power in the industry, because there's a lot of other good breeds out there. But Angus is definitely, that was a branding thing. That was a marketing thing, basically. Yep. Angus, I do believe, are the most...
docile, well-mannered.
I wouldn't say docile, well-mannered, but
they're kind of a catch-all, right? They're a little bit good at everything.
So they're good milkers. They're great carcass. Mm-hmm. They kind of are the all around, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they make a very adaptable and universal good beef animal because they do so many things well. They don't necessarily do everything the greatest, but they're like the jack of all trades, master none animal for bovine breeding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they are nice if you tried to pet them.
Well, not as nice as a Hereford.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
when you're dealing, some wild ass Herefords out there, or what?
Oh yeah, when you're dealing, that's the thing about everybody always says this breed's more docile than that breed. I tell you what, there's a mean old rascally bastard in every one of them.
It's like people, right?
Yeah, exactly. you can run into mean ones and bad ones in any color, creed, as a whole. They're primarily pretty good temperament, though. And there are some breeds and I've even found, Solaires and Longhorns and, you could go, on down the laundry list of, every guy's going to say, oh, they're the best one or they're the worst one, So
sure.
It's like Ford and Chevy and Dodge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you
they
would
all
say,
suck.
They all
cost too damn much money and they all break down.
What's that cute cow that
you're talking about? Highland.
Is that
Highland?
What the calf vet has?
The furry ones.
No, hers aren't.
Those are
little
cute.
Miniature yeah. ones. Yeah. Those are Highland Hills, right?
But what's, yeah, what does so she like, have?
They have miniature breeds too. Like they have miniature Herefords now. Like they have miniature. Yeah, like
really?
You, yeah. So people have actually. Like you can target about any gene and make it what you want,
okay,
right?
Yeah,
so like
that's
you
true.
I mean you can make miniature, you know, little 500-pound mature Angus cattle if you want, you know. So it's
did you see that was a scam? I think it was Highland Hills, those little miniatures out of Broken Bow. Someone straight up took their website, like remade it, and were selling miniature as miniature little Highlands as pets, and it was all fake. So, like,
really?
People were sending them thousands of dollars, and then this place out of Broken Bow was like, who the hell are you? You didn't send me any money, man. I would know if you did.
Weird.
And then, yeah, that got popped, like, a couple years ago.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, just some fake website just cropped up and targeted this little
What I'm wondering
range.
About is, like, mini animals like that. Has anybody explored, like, the meat cuts on them? So, like, do you get, a little mini T-bone?
No one eats them, Ben. They're pets.
Yeah, primarily that's a yeah.
Awesome. I mean, would your that kids' be? Meals are over here, right? I mean, this is a market we haven't explored yet, Josh. Yeah.
I tell
here
you
we
what.
Go.
Hey, I mean, I'm a cowman first and foremost. I also do nutrition consulting for a big company, but I'll market. I mean, yeah, let's go.
Let's
yeah.
go.
If you figure
it's
it
like
out,
a kid's like, meal.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like we got, instead of like 20-pound briskets on the smoker, we've got like 3 pounds. Like, yeah,
like you wonder if the, like on at every restaurant you go to, they have the kids meal with like the 4-ounce sirloin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Were
yeah.
those minis? Or
yeah, they just, came from the mini cow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, put it front and center. You know, those, they look really cool, those tomahawk steaks. And then you got, you got these little mini ones over here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes me think of like, we'll buy like sheep or whatever every now and then, right?
Yeah.
And they've got cuts that look like a T-bone, but they're literally like the size of your hand.
Right. Yep. They're small.
Yeah. Huh. And they're good. They're like one or two bites, but they're just kind of funny looking at it.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's that's the cool thing about the beef industry as a whole is that, like, some people that aren't involved with the beef industry, you know, they always ask me, like, why don't you guys unionize or why don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's so independent. Like,
yeah.
It's the most independent. It's like the last frontier of free thinking, independent minds that just, like, you can't put it in a, like, yeah. It's just
but that's
so,
also, like, I'm sure when people are bringing that up, they're referring to what, you know, just regular everyday people hear in the news all the time is that there's just a couple of these big processors that are running your world and setting all your rules and deciding what all of the regular people get. So I think people are kind of thinking like, what can you do to take some of the power back?
Yep, yeah,
is probably
exactly.
The,
and like yeah. I've had, like I could go down a pretty deep rabbit hole here of frustration.
Oh, I'm
and
sure.
Things that should have been different. Like you look at like the beef checkoff dollar, for instance, that everybody pays into, right? Like I feel they could have been a much They could have done a lot more with that dollar that we've been spending for so many years. I mean, we're talking billions. I mean,
explain what that is.
So, like, anytime you have an animal that gets inspected by, say, the brand committee, like, or you have an inspection process or anything, there's a beef checkoff dollar that you pay for that.
Okay.
That you pay. And they've done some good things with it. I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, like, but, like, for instance, you look at the last 30 years, they could have built a, you know, 100, you know, they could have took all that money and put packing facilities all up and down I-80 and,
sure.
you know, they could have made it to where it wasn't such a monopolized market in that area. Mm-hmm. Right. And that would have benefited a lot of people if you had 50 to 100 head packing houses from Salt Lake City, Utah to Chicago.
Sure.
And, know, I mean, so they could have started building, you know, they could have just infrastructure, things like that. So there's, I don't know, but like I'm such a small man on the totem pole, like from that regard, you know, there's a lot more powerful people making those decisions.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do that because of one person wanting to benefit?
Well, it's not just one person, but yeah, there's like if you, and I'm not saying like no one in the deal is evil. Like it's not like they're like some evil corporation, but like, yeah, like some of the people involved with the call it the line of progression or the whatever you want to call it
in
the
ring.
Like there's a few guys that got a little bit too much power, just like any industry,
okay.
right? I mean, you know, you talk about the major four packers, and that's what you're talking mm-hmm. about, right? Like, yeah, they control, like...
A lot.
They control a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they... Yeah. Yeah. And right now, they're actually losing money, like, it to, you know, I mean, because cattle prices are at all-time highs right now. It's very difficult for... The only way you get into this business is if it is generational.
Yeah.
Like, there's very... Yeah. There's damn few people... Unless you're the mega rich, you know, yep. like Bill mm-hmm. Gates buying farm ground, those yep. guys, right? Which... Totally sucks, but yeah. sorry. But
Ted Turner own like yeah. half of Nebraska now for bison. Woo!
Yeah, you know? I mean, so yeah. like, unless you're mega rich, you're not getting into the cattle industry.
Yeah.
Like, it's the upfront investment is just it's way too great. Hmm. You know, yeah.
So yeah, it's like that on like the farming side, row cropping side as yeah. well. I mean, we've talked to guys about that. You can't. The barrier to entry is just too high.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go like. Minimum to make a living in the cow-calf sector, you know, you're going to need 200 cows and be a damn good marketer of them to make a good mm-hmm, living, mm-hmm. you know. And, like, out west where I am from and you go to the big country, like, the kind of the rule of thumb is, like, a family, like, 400 cows per family. Mm. That's a good living. You
oh,
know? Well,
really?
To go buy 400 cows, you know, you're yep. talking, you know, and then you got to buy the 5,000 or 7,000 or 8,000, depending on where you live.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
you know, you got to go buy 1,000 acres of ground right. to run them on, you know. So,
yeah. hope it
or,
rains.
Or find somebody to lease from, or, you know, and, yeah. and there are guys that are young that get into the industry through, you know, leases and stuff like that and mm-hmm. doing shares. And so there's ways into it, but I mean, you got to work your ass off.
Super
you know,
tough.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
yeah. It's, yep. So.
So a tale old as time, and I've seen it on a couple of different platforms, and it's come up in my line of work. And finally, this entity, and I'm not going to out anybody, they finally just said, well, the reason we allow this thing to happen that doesn't make sense, like let's say beef coming in from overseas, and then they package it, and it's called the product of the USA. Totally pulling the wool over people's eyes. I mean, absolutely. that is a straight-up yeah. lie that's deceitful. And our higher-ups allow that to happen. I mean, that's all there is to it. So what I feel has happened is these powerful people you talked about, JBS, like, well, what if we gave you $5 million? Could we do it then? You know, like, you just have to find the right people to squeeze or to incentivize. And then where this whole thing was built to help you and others like you out actually turns against you. And it set the table for these three or four packers.
Yep. And I promise some. Well, first, I forgot to mention to Adam. Thanks for lining this all up, too. So Adam is sitting here, and he's my partner in what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But lost my train of thought.
Well,
there.
This sucks for you because it puts you in a tough spot where you can't talk shit about your higher ups.
I promised some people that I wouldn't talk politics while I was on this.
But, okay.
But
I'm sorry.
But, way to go.
But, no, way to you're go. Good. But seriously though, like, hopefully Trump can get like tariffs are going to hurt some people for a while. Like he even said when he did that, like mm-hmm. when he had that speech, he yeah. even said like it's. You know,
people aren't going to like it.
Buckle yeah. up. It's going to suck, but we got to have it. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's right because.
Hold on. You don't think it's right that Canada has a 322% tariff on our eggs and we don't have any tariff on their eggs?
Yeah. I mean,
what?
Yeah. And then, like, in the beef, like, to me, I think we should just shut our dick because we produce about enough food in this country right now to feed our people.
It, yeah. Oh. Like, really?
Yeah. So, like,
okay.
to me,
I
like,
didn't know that.
To me, let's just shut her down. Like, let's just feed our, like, screw China, screw all these exports. Like, let's just shut her down.
Whoa.
Like,
you're know, talking I mean, about taking care of our people?
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's America first? Like,
yeah.
Shut this down, Ben. America's let's get first, off the rails. Right? This, we have gone off the rails.
Like, screw this. Like, in the food sector, screw imports, screw exports. Let's feed our own people healthy. Let's get our soils right. Like, there's a lot of things that in farming and agriculture that we've gotten wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, our soils are, like, we're depleting
yeah.
things. So, like, let's get it back. Yeah. Like, you think yeah. you talk about healthcare, right, with the food system, right? Like, healthcare is what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our healthcare yeah. system is
yeah.
broke
yeah.
because they relied on big pharma and bullshit to mm-hmm. fix it when they should have been focusing yep. on healthier food,
yep.
period.
You do know? You, yeah. what, so, what you were saying earlier, do you as, so you're someone that will be directly affected by the kinds of things that are going on right now, you know, as far as the tariffs and that kind of stuff. So do you feel like, as one of those people, you are more than willing to take those hits right now for what is certainly going to be a better future? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a small sacrifice, small price to pay compared to what guys in the military have done or what other people have done for this country.
Yeah.
Like, look at our founding fathers. Like, look at the things that this country was built on. Yep. Like, shit, I'll suffer in the trenches if it means my kids get an opportunity to be successful.
I feel that's like a no-brainer. That's not a story. I mean, that's the reason I asked that is because that's not a story that's being told right now. Like, people, all you hear is that, oh, man, he's bringing down my business. You know, this is, now I'm having to do this. Now this is harder. Now that's harder. Anything that I've ever experienced in life that ends up being something good always gets worse before it gets better.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to, 90% of the time, it's going to suck. You're going to get your ass kicked before you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, you got to feel that failure. You got to feel that. You know, those battles, those things you have to overcome, that's what, and if we have to have some tariffs or we have to go through some tough times to make sure that our country is secure for the future generations, then screw it.
I saw a person speaking for you on the news last week, and he had a real nice suit and tie on, and he's saying, look, these people can't afford to go through this tough time. They can't afford to, like, tariffs would work, but we are at a point right now where the income so low and the gap, the wage gap, this and that. Like, these poor people, like Josh here, he can't afford to overcome these tariffs. I'm like, you know, fuck you. Get off your pedestal. You're speaking for a whole demographic of people.
Know?
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah.
And how did it get so bad then? You know, you're trying to say it's not bad, but it is bad. Right. Like, I mean,
I can assure you that I've made some comments and places about those suit and tie folk you're talking about that I'm surprised some black SUVs didn't show up in my driveway. So
we don't want to get you in trouble.
No, but like, you're exactly right though. Like what the fuck? How? Yeah. Like, you people don't have a freaking clue. Like,
and they're taking the stand that they're going to bat for you.
Yeah,
you know, like, they're. It's like, kind of weird watching it play out.
And there are some good. There are people out there that are legitimately, you know, concerned about agriculture in our country and kind of where it's at, and it's in a good place for as a whole. Like, we're cattlemen right now they're doing pretty good, like, right now. I mean, the guys that I'm around, the people I know, like, prices are, like, especially in the cow calf sector, we're fine. Like, this has been a great year for a lot of cow calf guys. You know, they've cattle prices are very good, you know, but on the flip side of that, you know, it can change quick.
Yeah.
And if we had a black swan event right now, like, if there's one little hiccup in this deal, one little deal, it's going to break the shit out of people. Like, there's not so much in a cow-calf deal, but, like,
just in
these feedlots and these guys that are buying these potloads of steers to feed out, oh, my God. Like, one black swan event, and I mean, you're talking massive amounts of money and equity that are going to be lost. And I don't know, like, even some of the big boys are going to, like, they always say, like, oh, the big boys are always going to be too big to break. Well,
those floods of 2019 brought it to its knees.
I mean,
you know?
there's certainly, like, no one's too big to fail, but it's a black swan event right now or something that to cause a hiccup in this deal would not be good for food production in this country. And the other thing is, like, when we talk about food production, like, everybody's, and I know this is probably going to piss off a lot of farmers, but I guess whatever. So, like, nobody's going out into cornfields and eating that row crop corn.
Right.
That's cattle feed. It's ethanol.
Yep.
It's, you know, I mean, it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when I talk about food production, like, let's get back to making food, you know, and let's drill oil. Like, screw your ethanol. Let's go drill hole. Let's go drill for oil. Let's use our energy. We have so much goddamn oil in this freaking ground across North America. It's stupid. Like, let's make Alberta our 51st state. Is that when it comes?
I'm not sure if you guys have realized yet what side of the political spectrum he's on.
I don't know.
But it's, you know, it's yeah. it's questionable right now.
It's pretty obvious when like
drill baby drill.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's certain parts about the energy sector that even I don't agree with. You know, that I know it's affecting our water supply. It's doing things that ain't good, right? Mm-hmm. But drilling for oil, I mean, yeah. Let's not put any. You know, there's oil in the Sandhills too. The reason why, but that's one part where, like, let's not worry about that oil because we have a precious aquifer underneath our ground, right? The Ogallala aquifer is a very precious resource, you know? So, like, let's be smart about those instances, right? But, but like, in Wyoming with the coal ground, like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, get it, you know? I mean...
One of the things that I thought was funny you were talking about earlier is people, like, the corn being grown around here, you're not going to go out in the field and eat it. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to have tried that.
Like, they actually tried it?
No, I mean, like, just regular, everyday people that know nothing about farming, and it's, you know, fall, and they're like, oh, we want some corn tonight. So they stop on the side of the road and go pick a few ears and bring them home, and then find out.
Stop.
Yeah, that's not, that, yeah, this not isn't like the grocery store stuff.
Yeah.
It's not sweet corn.
Yeah, that's not sweet corn, guys. Yeah. That's funny.
So let's rewind a little bit. So you were saying that you're fifth generation, you grew up in Alliance. What was your childhood like? What were you doing?
It's all about work ethic. I mean, that's like one thing my dad, like, we worked hard, you know. We didn't, you know, just like a lot of farm and ranch kids, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you work hard, you play hard, you know, like I was involved in athletics. Sports were a big part of my life. Other than that, I mean, pretty normal. I mean, chasing girls.
Yeah,
probably drinking too much beer growing up.
Driving big trucks.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, like, So I mean, it's just, but a lot of, you know, you work your ass off and you play hard too. You know, I mean, that's pretty much childhood, really. I mean, we rode horses. We did all the stuff that you'd think about a ranch kid doing, right?
Like 4-H.
I actually never did 4-H.
Okay, you had siblings.
My brother did. But basically, by the time my brother went through 4-H, I saw like what it was, and I was like, I'm playing baseball.
Yeah.
So, and that led to, you know, playing baseball led to 4 years of college ball, and you know, played college baseball and all that good stuff.
How many siblings did you have?
One, just the brother.
Is he older than you?
He's 4 years older.
Okay.
So, yep.
So he did that, and so then you said, so you graduated high school, and then you went, where'd you go to college?
Started out at JUCO in Kansas at Barton County Community College, so... Shout out to the Cougars down there. But no, that was a good place to go to college to start out. The thing about college, like, you know, you hear a lot of people, like, honestly, college for me, other than the baseball experience and life experiences, was a waste of time.
I kind of feel like you think that.
So, life experience.
A little bit.
Like, I'm going to make my kids go to college because, first of all, it teaches you how to be alone. And you need those life experiences.
Okay, yeah.
You need those life experiences of, like, you're by yourself, freaking figure it out. Mm-hmm. No one's going to be there to wipe your ass, you know? Like, so that's a big part of college. But as far as, like, I'm going to go get a business degree, it's like...
Yeah. Womp, womp.
But that's what I'm saying. You know? I feel like you've thought that, like, because it's like business. I mean, you can learn a lot of this stuff outside of paying $100,000 for that.
I think the key to
the
it
cost.
Is what you're talking about is, like, is being smart about where you go and what you do, because you're going to pick up all those experiences that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
You can't teach that anywhere. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you have to spend $60,000 a year to have those experiences.
Like, I know a lot of good marketing agencies that, I mean, you can learn how to, like, there's a lot of good jobs out there, tons of them available, that they don't give a shit about. They care about performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, go perform. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I know way too many educated people that, you know, end up just going to the railroad.
Sure, absolutely,
managing a fast food restaurant.
And I don't know if it's like,
you know, it's like, I mean, it's...
Yeah, like you didn't need a degree for that.
Yeah, none of that crap.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if it's like this today, but I know when I graduated, so if you're looking at like pre-2010, to get a job, like a important job, you know, air quotes or whatever, you had to have a degree. It didn't matter what your degree was in. Yep. It was just the people that were hiring wanted to see that piece of paper. And I always thought that was pretty stupid, but I also realized after the fact that basically it just showed that you could start something, you could stay committed to it, you could finish, and you're going to pick up a bunch of life skills from
so
it.
So that's like the Sylvester Stallone series where he's in Oklahoma, Tulsa. Have you guys ever watched that?
Oh, yeah, Tulsa King.
I haven't seen it. It's called Tulsa. Sylvester Stallone made an awesome comp, like this kid, they're in the truck, and he's like, that degree don't mean nothing. The only reason why, that degree gets you that job because it proved to you that for 4 years, you got your ass out of bed, you showed up. That's more of what it's about.
Yeah, I think. It is.
It's just like people want to know that when you are alone, no one there to get your ass out of bed and get your ass to, that just proves to people that you were a responsible human being to accomplish that,
And then you don't, and again, you don't have to spend $60,000 a year to prove that. Just figure out what makes the most sense. Yep. So what did you get your degree in?
I actually am one of the few jackasses that went to school virtually free on an athletic scholarship for 4 years and did not get a degree.
Oh, so you didn't end up finishing it?
I got a degree in partying, playing baseball, and raising hell.
Hey, one of our best defensive linemen, he went to school and was a 3-year starter, and like he needed like 2 or 3 credits at the end of his senior year, and he just like quit after that. I'm like, what? You went to school? But
so I'm actually like 20 hours away from having my teaching degree, though.
That's what I was gonna say. What did you study?
History. Yeah. I was a history major, big history guy. So like that's what I love history, and that's what I. Cool. I actually went to college. I started out a criminal justice major because I wanted to be an FBI agent.
Okay.
And then I found out like
that once you get a record, you can't be an FBI agent.
That's part of it. I was like, ah, shit, my first DUI. That ain't gonna happen now. Yeah. No. the FBI thing. My reason why I didn't pursue criminal justice anymore because like when I started looking into like the reports you had to file,
all the paperwork and all that.
All the crap behind it. You crack some losers, some freaking pedophile or some jackass, you crack in the head and freaking throw his ass behind bars. You got to fill out 50-page, a big 50-page report that you did that. Screw that. I ain't doing that.
Why don't they have people for that?
Just do the right thing. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm curious if you had this perspective because one of my really good friends from back home, and he was one of these fourth, fifth generation cattle ranchers.
Yep.
And he was going to Curtis out there. Yep. He goes, man, I don't need this degree, but this is my 2.5-3 year vacation. I mean, I've been working the ranch, since I was little, and I'm going to be working this ranch when I get back. I'm going to take these 2 years and have fun. So he looked at college as just a break. Yeah. This is my 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, then that's true if you don't play college sports, but college sports are very demanding. Yeah. So, unfortunately, I didn't get much of a break. But, and honestly, after my third surgery, I even lost my passion for baseball because I had good timing. So, I was just literally my junior, senior year, it was I got a job. I got a job at Menards, unloading refrigerators up on the top decks and stuff and driving a forklift and kind of limped the last year and a half through college, and because I went to college really for 3 reasons: to play baseball, to get away from home, because up until I was 19, the furthest I'd been away from home was Des Moines, Iowa. We didn't travel, we didn't go places. So I was like, I'm gonna go see some shit first of all, and second of all, to play baseball, and third reason, I was like, I gotta find a wife.
The local talent isn't there, so we better go check it out.
So once I met Josie, though, when I met Josie, and it was time to go back to the ranch. That was the final thing. When I met my wife, it was all right.
And she wanted to go.
Yeah, and she did want to go. Then she was there for a while after.
Damn it.
She was oh, this
sucks. It sounds so amazing at first.
Oh yeah, because when you go from living in town where everything's convenient, right, to you're 30 minutes away to just get a gallon of milk, and you're secluded.
It's different.
And you live next to your in-laws because it's a family operation, right? So it was a struggle for my wife. She was but she's, so it's all good now, obviously. But there was definitely a struggle there, 100%.
I think also for folks like you, when we talk about the college thing, where it comes in and it's super important is you're almost expected to be the next generation on the ranch or on the farm or whatever the operation is. So you've grown up like that, and you need those few years to get out, stretch your legs, maybe grow a better appreciation for the ranch and for the farm that you didn't have when you left.
Yeah, absolutely. That's you're exactly right, because I hated that ranch.
Yeah,
like like I had to get away from it to appreciate it and love it.
Yeah,
because when I was there, like it was just a damn slave factory.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Like it's, like you're enslaved to it, right?
And
I mean, it sucked because it was just the grind. But there's grind everywhere you go, and if you're not grinding, then you're probably, you know, I don't give a shit what you're doing.
Yep.
You know, if you're not going to go out and grind it, then you're going to fail anyway. So I don't care if you're, you know, any occupation, anywhere you go. So
do you even remember the first time working cattle that you had to go throw the calves? Like, how young were you? Were you 11? Were you 12? Did they let you wait till you were 14 at least? I'd bet not. You're a big dude. He's a college athlete. I bet you're probably 10 or 11 years old. And when I say throw calves.
Yeah, like I don't know what that means.
Like me and my brother used to go tag calves like by ourselves. I suppose my brother was maybe 9 or 10 and I was 5 or 6.
Okay, so you were the younger one. You had to like distract the cow, the mad mom.
It's great. Yeah. Like cuz back then like we had some disposition issues back then. So I remember the first time my brother, and this is a funny story, but we had this old bitch called Pirate. She was a brocka face freaking. Like, so every, like, for 2 years in a row before we sold her finally, like, because me and my brother knew, like, that's the bitch, like, you know. And so I would literally, like, Justin would get out with the stub post and, like, fend her off just long enough for me. I think I was 7, maybe 6. Just long enough to grab that little shit and get him into the cab of the pickup.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was, like, literally trying to climb through the freaking window at us. So it's like... Yeah. And
Okay, but
we don't have cows like that anymore.
I really don't know this. Why are you yanking a baby from its mom instantly?
So, like, you got to tag it. You got to, there's stuff
you can't tag it right there and then the mom lick it.
She'll trample it. Like,
it ain't that nice.
I've seen a video.
With my, with my cows, I do that with every, like, I haven't had a, like, my cows are, like, I've sold the disposition off the bad cows.
Okay.
But, like, you see those videos of, like, you do not want a cow to get you on the ground. She will break your ribs.
But I literally just saw one the other day from Jenna. The calf was born. It was still in its sack. So she was trying to help rip it open.
Yep, peel the sack off.
And then the mom's right there and she's right there.
That's
like,
a good cow.
That's a good cow.
That's a really
good
cow.
Okay, so that's not typical. Not all good.
No, that is typical. That's what it's supposed to be.
But this
every
was the
once
bitch.
In a while, you'll run across that bitch. It wants to kill you.
So you just got
to
yank that baby, so take it into warm.
Yeah,
warm it up.
Well, I just did it right there in the cab of the truck.
And then threw the baby back out.
Put her back out.
I gotcha.
But now,
7 years old. I can't imagine my kid doing that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, it's wild.
But yeah, like 7, 8 years old is when I got more involved with that stuff. Like, you know, because like in my, and now I have a, you know, like my daughter, I have 4 kids. My oldest daughter would go down and like my kids walk the alleyways. They've been doing that stuff. Like they, like you learn how to react around cows. You learn how to be around cows by the time you're,
walking.
And like it's intense when like that education, like you get yelled at a lot. Like, like mental toughness, Mm-hmm. Like ranch kids are more mentally, there's a reason why, like when the army recruiters come into the high schools, they're like, where's your ranch kids?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cause they've already been yelled at?
They've already, my kids have been called, I'd probably get turned into Child Protective Services.
Because you don't want them to get hurt and
like
endangered.
I'm teaching them.
Yes,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, get the beep, 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 beep. She's, you get in the wrong position in our world, you get wrapped up in a PTO, you're dead. You get, there's no second chances with some of this stuff.
So to me, that's when I would be freaking out when the kid wants to put their finger in the outlet or like run across the street.
Sure.
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same, but like it's like life or death is what you're saying.
There's certain things on a ranching operation or any like any factory work. Like the thing about factory work or like those positions, like, you know, they have rules against kids being into those areas.
Okay.
Right? Like but on the ranch.
You need their help.
Like,
well, they're on the
like
ranch.
You're, you know, like, hey, see that PTO right there spinning really fast? Yeah, like, stay the fuck away from that or you're dead.
Right.
Like, instantly.
Yeah.
You know, like,
okay.
So there's certain things that they have to know. And if it takes a few ass chewings to get them to know it, a hard ass chewing is a hell of a lot less severe than death, you know? So,
Okay.
I mean, so,
But, so how old are your kids then?
16, 14, 11, and 10.
Gotcha.
Girl, okay. Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you see in any of them yet, like, that they are the next generation, that they're going to want to be a part of that, you think?
They all have their strong points. God, we talked about this, Adam, for like 2 hours last night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no one would have ever thought I was going back to the ranch when mm-hmm. I was 15 years old.
Right, right.
I mean, I was playing ball. I was, yeah. But you see it's more of your mindset as far as like, you know, how do you handle adversity? How do you, yep. you know, like those things. So, yeah, I think any one of my kids right now at this point are capable.
Sure.
Know? So it's like, I don't know. But that's why I'm trying to create other businesses.
Yep.
You know, like I'm not just a cow-calf ranch. Like we do a lot of other things too, through our meat company to Sandhill Slims to yep. the nutrition consulting to like, you know, there's a lot of things that I would do outside of there where I'm trying to build other businesses so that my kids have opportunity.
Yep.
You know, because the ranch ain't big enough for all of us, right?
Sure, I mean, yeah.
You know, you go another generation to my brother and his three kids and my four kids, and it's
yeah.
like
yep.
some of you yep. guys are getting jobs too off
thin,
this ranch.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work, you know. So yeah. So.
Let's talk about the ranch itself a little bit. One of the questions that I had, what's in the name, Haig?
So Haig, so I'm a history guy, right? So I did, like, you go back on the old maps. So the guy that settled that particular place mm-hmm. where my yard sits, his name was Haig.
Okay.
And then my great-great-grandpa acquired it from him.
Okay.
So
Where my great-great-grandpa
actually settled was like 15 miles to the east of us.
Okay.
But then that Haig guy is right where my yard is. So, like, gotcha. I went back and I said, okay,
nice.
So that's where Haig Angus Ranch comes from, is that's the original Homestead Act deed. That was the guy. So
interesting.
You go back on the old maps, it says Haig Ranch. Yep.
Do you know where that family came from?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to do a little history on that, but, yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's pretty...
Yep.
So... What, you know, you had talked a little bit about this earlier, that you guys do some things different and that kind of stuff. What's different about your ranch that, you know, that you would consider in how you run and how you raise animals compared to what we're typically used to seeing?
So, like, one of the big things, I'd say, like, we started the seed stock side of things, right? So, like, raising bulls, obviously, because mm-hmm. not everybody raises bulls.
Yep.
There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of seed stock producers, so we did that, obviously, is the biggest jump, right? But like nutrition, like from nutrition to management practices, like we, for instance, we don't vaccinate anymore on any females. And that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
Sure. Yeah.
But,
oh,
yeah.
That sounds so, like a rabbit hole.
I like yeah, this
so,
guy.
Yeah, so like, some of our management practices, people are like, you're a dumbass. You're going to go broke because
yeah.
it's so far. Like
yeah.
outside of the ordinary, but now there's actually a few people around me that are like, so we vaccinate our steers still, right? But we don't do it till the fall. So like when we calve, it's like the stress management is key. Nutrition and stress management is mm-hmm. the key to health, right? So mm-hmm. like everybody's worried about, oh, they're all going to die if you don't get vaccine in them. It's like, well, I'm not dead. My kids aren't dead. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, pretty sure everybody I knew that got COVID real bad and didn't make it, you know, went to the hospital.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, so like I said, that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be a longer.
Yeah, that'd be
a little too long.
But no, I mean, so like our management practices are certainly kind of, I just started doing a ton of research on like lower GI tract impact, gut health. Like,
mm-hmm.
so we look at everything on our ranch from a diet, like a diet and management of stress versus mm-hmm. a, like if you do that right first, everything else will fall into place. Like
okay.
that's the key.
So right? what kind so, of things do you do to alleviate stress and to focus on that diet?
We calve them out and they go to grass. And they get, like Advanced Ag Products is a company that I consult for.
Uh-huh.
We have the first, essentially it's the first, I guess I'll give them a little shout since, shout out to AAP, Advanced Ag Products, but we have a product called BioRig. BioRig is essentially, it is the first, Kevin's the first guy that I know of in the world that has a coating technology that gets essential oils into the lower GI tract.
Okay.
Nice.
So it's a game changer. Like, okay. Once people figure out what this shit does.
So it's a shot or it's like liquid?
There's a lot of different delivery methods, but feed. It's feed.
I got you.
Lower GI. So they're eating consumed.
It. Yeah. Yep.
Whether it's through a water, water soluble form or through pellets or through lick tubs or through but the BioRig, we have a lot of different delivery methods that we get it into the animals.
So it's not a one-time thing is what I was getting at.
No, it's a program. It's a program. Yeah. It's like taking your daily vitamins.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing that I got. I actually just started that just in the last couple of years. That's kind of – so now I'm the Great Plains Territory guy for that company. So I cover Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, Wyoming. So I do a lot of traveling for the nutrition consulting deal. So,
nice.
Yeah. I'm like 120 to 130 hours a week, minimum.
Oh God! So you don't sleep much.
We need to get you in touch with some of the cattle ranchers that we work with and handle merchandise for, these social media guys.
Yep.
Because there's a few of them that like they've got some pretty good size operations and they'll run stuff like that. If it's something they believe in, then they get to the masses, via YouTube and whatever.
Exactly.
So it's kind of a cool setup. But yeah, so those kinds of things, the diet, talk about the diet a little bit.
Well, so for one thing, we pretty much try and stay all the word all natural is a very widely misused word. Same with organic. Like I get a kick out of like these organic farms. It's like, pretty sure cross-pollination is a real thing.
Your
little 40-acre farm in Iowa is surrounded by sons of bitches that ain't. So it's not organic.
Dude, cross-pollination is a thing because didn't they just tell us that all this dirt all over all of our cars is from Texas from the last snowstorm? Have you heard this?
Yeah, I heard that.
That traveled all the way from Texas. Yeah. So the field doesn't even need to be next to your field. It can be states away.
Yeah.
Some of those rules, too. It's just
so, like, we feel that, like, our... Like, we try not to feed any, like, we try and stay away from GMO feed sources. Sometimes it's impossible, right? I mean, like, you it's taken over everything. So it's hard to, but we try and stay GMO free. We stay, we want to be as close to, I try and keep things as close as to what I think God had a vision for it for. Like, what was it like, what did God's original intent for food production? What did it look like? Mm-hmm. Like when the disciples were herding sheep in Israel, like what did they, it was pure, right? It was, so like, that's my, like, I try and just like keep it as simple and common sense as I can. Like, don't overthink something that can be simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of producers just overthink it.
Think how many steps you're already there when you took a bison and now you've bred it down to a nice little Angus, black cow. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're already removed.
Now you just like let them be cattle. Like they are a ruminant grazing animal. Mm-hmm. Like they're not designed to, like, I grant it. Now we need feedlots. There's no way we can, we can't feed 300 million people.
Yeah.
What, they don't all eat beef, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you can't, we need commercialized industry to a certain extent, but to me they could do it more efficiently, I guess.
Yeah.
In some sectors of it, if that makes sense.
By simplifying it.
Yeah.
By taking a bunch of this bullshit out of the equation.
Yeah.
But see, a lot of people profit off that bullshit.
Like, there's been trillions made on the bullshit.
Yeah.
Pharmaceutical.
Like, I didn't know you wanted to go there, but think of all the shots that I take with cattle, just shoot them up. Fuck it.
And I'm not saying I'm against vaccine, but like, Jesus, one shot in a booster.
Yeah.
Like, I know guys that vaccinate their fucking cows like 7-8 times a year. Mm. It's like,
wow.
Oh.
Like, you talk about stress management.
Yeah.
Go take that bitch out of her natural grazing environment with her calf, bring her into a corral. Run her through a chute, and then have her calf sorted off every time you do that.
Yeah,
and it's just common sense. Stress is the biggest. Like, stress is huge. Like, if you're stressed, you're not healthy. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I mean, just that. Like, think of it. Take it to its simplest form of just that, and it's like, let them go be cows and spread out and graze and let God, like what God created them to do with a rumen.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other shit will just go away. You're you know, like,
let their natural defense mechanisms work, their own,
their own immune function response, their own.
Yeah.
And that's for the products that I sell, ideal, you know, through AAP, you know, those essential oils in that lower GI tract, they build that immune function response, you know.
Yeah. Do you think that where you're located, so we'll call it in the sand hills of Nebraska, you're in western Nebraska, right, that you have an advantage with that ground and with what naturally grows there and what the animals have to eat?
I mean, yeah, because it's untouched. Like, that's one of the things that we portray in our story about our Sandhill Slims product, is that we have the Sandhills in Nebraska. I mean, they were it was declared its own freaking ecosystem by Wikipedia. Like, it's the most unique ecosystem. Like, you can go to the Red Desert in New Mexico and find similar grounds in Wyoming, and you can find similar ground in Georgia to like you can, but there's nowhere like the Sandhills. It's the unique ecosystem.
Yeah.
Unlike any other ecosystem, it is the way it was 100,000 years ago.
The grasses are nutrient rich. Like, they grow back fast. They regenerate fast. Like, if you could imagine a bison herd rolling in, eating it down, and then rolling to the next spot, it'll grow up real fast. Like, and it's just amazing. Like you said,
so it's recovery. Like, and that's part of the grass recovery. You know, grass management is recovery time on grass. So, like a big herd of ruminant animals would graze that ground, and then they might not come back for 2 years. You know, or a year. So, like, you know, like, that's part of our, you talk about, like, our management of our ranch. Like, I rest two pastures a year for the entire growing season. They don't see a hoof. So, like, I have that built into my pasture rotation to where those two pastures don't see a hoof from basically April 1st to October 1st.
Okay.
Wow. And that gives everything a chance to go to seed. It gives everything a chance. So, like, so, yeah, like, that's...
That's pretty unique.
To do it properly, obviously, you have to have a good amount of ground in order to do that, to treat it right.
Well, you just got to not overgraze. Like, some guys just run too many goddamn cows. Like, you know, like...
So how many cows would you say per... Is it a thing per acre?
So it's like... based on animal units. Like, that's how, like, the livestock industry looks at animal units, you know. So, like, on our ranch, stocking rate is average about 22... acres to run one cow, whereas you're
22 acres for one cow
for year round.
It's closer to 10 or 11 for your typical, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So, I actually have a lower stocking rate because of that management system I have. So I actually run. I'm at about 14. But because of how I manage the grass, I can run more cattle. But some guys, like, if you have, for instance, like, if you have a big, say you have 500 cows and you have two 1,000-acre pastures and you have a two-pasture rotation and you go through them every year at the same time, you're creating a monoculture species of grasses and you're destroying that pasture.
Yeah,
whereas if you have a, whereas you could probably run 1,400 cows on that same, you know, deal if you had that split up into 10 paddocks and you were resting a couple of those the whole time. You know what I mean? So, like, it's that system of management. Like, down here, you guys can get away with a lot heavier stocking rates because it's not sand. Like, if we overgraze where I'm at, it just turns into a, like, 5 days of wind like we just had, a 60-mile-an-hour gust winds.
Yeah.
It's a giant fucking sandbox. It just turns into a blowout. Like, then you got nothing.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So, so, but like down here, you can probably run what a cow, like two, I don't know, you'd have to talk some ranchers.
I think it's around 11 or so. 11 acres.
Probably, like, I know, like, my buddy in Iowa, he's an acre and a half to run a cow year round.
Okay. Whoa.
Like, yeah. Like, whoa. It's like super good. Oh my goodness, right? Super good. Yeah. So, so it's, I got buddies all over the country that, you know, I have a guy in Wyoming, a good friend of mine, Ken. He's about 80 to 90 acres to run a cow. It's just high desert country, you know, so there's not much there.
It's just more sparse.
Yeah. So
what happens in the winter for diet and feed?
So we put up hay bales off of our meadows.
Okay. Yeah,
so we have the sub-irrigated meadows that produce a lot of tonnage in those low floodplain meadows, the sub-irrigated meadows. So we cut that for hay and put it in bales.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, so, these are calling my name. let's get into that.
So
I feel like we're talking, should eat one.
We're talking about how you know the ranch is and how you raise the cattle and things like that. One of the businesses that you started is this Sandhill Slims. You've mentioned it a couple times. Tell us a little bit about Sandhill Slims.
So Sandhill Slims was an idea that spawned in my brain one night driving. I was delivering bulls, and it was like 2 a.m. coming back from, I think I was coming back from Iowa. I can't remember, but I had like, I don't know, no sleep. And I was just driving, and I was like, God damn, I wish there was a way I could make my marketing plan for my bulls go full circle to where like I could buy cattle back from those producers. And I was like, oh, beef steaks. And boom. And then I was like, so I did my own research. I started going and sitting at truck stops. Like I'd just go sit in a truck stop for like an hour.
Okay. Front,
watching like, okay, is this worth it? Like what are people buying? And like there's way more of those things. Like people want healthy snacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and it's gotten even more that way. Like this was 6 years ago I was doing this. Okay. Sitting in truck stops, like doing the legwork of like, is this worth it, right? And it's even gotten a lot more to where people are just fed up with unhealthy shit. It's just what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And so I knew, like, back then, I was like, okay, I'm going to create a beef stick that nobody else has. For one, 90%+ of beef sticks sold in this country are from imported trim, just like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't know that. Like,
interesting.
We actually know me and another one of my partners actually know the guy that imports most of that trim. He's a solid dude. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge, successful businessman. Great person. But it's imported trim from Uruguay, Brazil, Tasmania.
It's kind of like eating a hot dog.
Well, no.
Okay.
It's not pig lips and assholes.
Okay. But, yeah. I'm just saying.
But,
no.
But it's still beef. Like, it's still beef.
Yes,
yeah,
but you know but where it's coming from,
but
basically.
It's imported trim, yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, so I was like, damn, I could have 100% Nebraska from womb to tomb, like the whole process, womb to tomb, beef stick that's healthy, whole, people can know the story, people can respect the product, they can understand, like, so that was the whole start of it. Like what spawned it was like, this will give me an opportunity. So like the people that buy bulls from me, they buy genetics from me, like I can offer a buyback protein program on their cull cows, like the animals that don't get bred, the animals that, you know, are culled out of their herd and put it into a stick to help. So like this was created to make the income flow go full circle with the producers in Sandhills,
oh,
Nebraska.
Oh, I see.
So like, so like now I can help the producer. So like, because cull cow prices right now are higher than hell, but they're not always that way. So like we can offer a premium to some of our producers that we deal with, you know, and you have to do like on the box, you'll see it says made from 100% Nebraska Sandhills pasture raised beef. So like if your cattle are sitting in a feedlot getting 30 pounds of corn every day, they ain't going to qualify for our program, right? Because we want our cattle to be, you know.
Right, so you're picky.
Goes back to that whole thing of, you know, the prairie, preserving the prairie, preserving the aquifer. Like, we want to, it's a holistic mindset, and that's another word that can get misused, holistic or regenerative. Like, I'm a big believer in regenerative agriculture, right? So those words can be misused, they can be, you know, altered and sometimes not thought of in the right way of what I feel they mean. But basically it just means like, how did ruminants roam this ground 1,000 years ago? That's the kind of
before
cattle,
all that, of us humans came and effed it up.
That's right. I mean, so that's like, we want to get as close to that as we can.
I like it.
Yep. So
I'll be honest with you, as far as like when you're talking about, when you're thinking about doing this business, like if it was me, I would run as far as away as I could get from it, because I see all these things in the grocery store or in the gas stations, and I would just be like, dude, people have no idea. Like, this has got to be hyper competitive, you know, all these kinds of things.
Yep.
But when I look at the way that you guys did it, it makes me second think it, because I've been, just like everyone else, like you're saying, lately paying more attention to what I'm eating.
Yep.
And I go into these gas stations and I'm looking at stuff. I need a snack. I'm freaking hungry. And literally, I cannot pronounce the ingredients.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do I want to eat that? What is this trash, you know?
Yep.
When I look at what you guys have on here, and I'm just going to run through this real quick. Ground beef, Baja Gold Mineral Sea Salt. What's the significance there?
So Baja Gold Sea Salt is the, when we did our research, and Brandon, my other partner, did some significant research on developing this recipe. But Baja Gold Mineral Sea Salt is—it's actually out of the Gulf of America now. But, no, but so the sea. So like when the high tide comes in, it goes. So it's leaving those salt. So it's the most. Yep. It's the highest trace mineral salt that I know of, or we could find. Yep. Like it's
pure
the purest. It is the purest form of sea salt you can get. Even way more so than even, you know, like your. Pink Himalayan or any of that crap. So like it's a very, very high quality salt.
So the salt is doing work for you as well, not just the beef.
Mm-hmm.
Encapsulated citric acid, celery juice powder, garlic powder, mustard powder, onion powder, paprika, black powder, cayenne pepper powder, turmeric, and oregano.
Yep.
That's it.
Turmeric.
Turmeric. Yep. Turmeric and oregano. Yeah.
So I mean, everything that we, when we started looking at this recipe, everything that we, and I should let Adam talk about this, he's the fitness guy, but like I wanted this to be like, if you're a world-class athlete, this is going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, like just a kid that, or a 50-year-old housewife that wants to, you know, do a meal replacement, it's going to help her lose weight. It's going to, so like this was developed like this, and more importantly than even those high quality ingredients is what we didn't put in it.
Yes. Sure.
No MSG. No nitrates or nitrites, no gluten. So they're celiac safe.
Yep.
So there's no allergens in it.
Yep.
It's no sugar or sugar substitute. So like we dotted every I and crossed every T with these sons of bitches.
I mean, try it. These are so tasty.
Oh, we're about to try it. Yeah. Yep. One of the things I thought about when Adam had first given me one of these, I thought to myself, man, it's missing all these things, and all those things that are in all of the other sticks must be there for a reason. Like these things are probably going to taste like crap or something. I don't know what, like it's going to be very bland or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I had it and I was like, whoa, why do all of these other sticks have all this stuff in it? Cause they don't need it. This is great.
Yeah. Makes them cheaper.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Like there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's just like you quality costs. Like I don't give a shit what you do.
Sure. And, yeah.
Like these are not a cheap stick.
Right.
Like these are a these are a high quality and high end stick made from the best cattle, in my opinion, in the world, out of the Sandhills of Nebraska that are free range, pasture raised beef loaded with the best damn ingredients you can get your hands on.
Well,
you
know? There's an awakening to that too. So, like the food pyramid was a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
The new one's maybe just as bad. And then here you're seeing a bunch of 0% total sugars, 0 grams of trans fats, 0, 0, 0, you know, and you're saying no MSG, no nitrates. That's what people want.
Yep.
You know, that's, and people are much more conscious of that now.
Look at cancer. Like take cancer. What feeds cancer? Sugar.
Yeah.
Or sugar substitutes, that puts it on a fast track. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you look at stuff like that. Like, you know, it goes back to my comment earlier in the podcast of, you know, our entire freaking healthcare system is in shambles because of one day people decided that they wanted all this processed shit.
Right.
And I don't know if people even decided
that they wanted it. It just got created and put on you.
Like,
and
go to Europe. Go to Europe. Go to some of these other places.
Yeah.
That, like a bottle of ketchup in Europe, it looks completely different on the freaking ingredients.
Yeah.
It's the same Hunt's bottle, same freaking brand name, same shit, but the ingredients are completely different. Mm-hmm. You know.
I mean, we're all guilty of eating bad shit and drinking stuff that we shouldn't. But
I love Bush Light and I love M&Ms. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ice, right?
Like, it does feel like we lost a little something. They got rid of E40 or whatever it was on the M&M's. I mean, like, no, it's not as bright.
Red 40?
Yeah, red 40.
Yeah, but these are so good. So
obviously, we're trying them right now.
There's a website. Where do you people get these?
Yeah, we'll pull that up. This. Oh, okay. I just wanted to say, like, number one, when I open it up, I can smell it and it smells good. Mm-hmm. It smells like something that I would make at home. The flavor's good. I've had these in the past, so I can say that, like, I've also had the junk at the gas station. But after I eat it, hour later, whatever, I'm burping it up. I can taste it again, you know, whatever. With these, I don't. This is just like I'm eating something at home that I made.
Are you talking about the one that starts with an S and ends with a J, or we're not dropping names?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. There's a lot of different ones out there. Okay. But you can tell if you pay attention to your body, you can tell what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, your body's telling you, like,
I can't even
dude, this
eat
stuff,
some of the
this
other
stuff
ones.
Isn't right. The flavor on this is not overpowering, and that's why I'm not burping it up later. But it's good. It's there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I can tell you, Adam, he's being honest right now because he actually said this stuff in Broken Bow when he gave us our first stick after you left the room. So
you weren't even there.
Yeah. So no, I totally agree. And it goes back to kind of your common theme here, Josh. Less is more in a way. Yep. You know, if you can cut out all that other stuff, the just beef is good.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is I'm a big fan of simple. You know, I mean, the KISS theory, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Just keep it simple, you know? And like, I will say though, it was very difficult to make a beef stick that was shelf stable without all the shit in it.
Yeah.
Like we put a ton of money into figuring out how to do this, you know? Cause like, you know, guys will use cherry powder. They'll use like the all natural brands will use, you know, and the organic brands will, they'll still use some kind of substitute, and figuring out how to do this without even any sugar substitutes or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we still had to get the pH. Like the one thing, and we actually already. So the one thing on here that we really, really were trying to figure out, and it's not like it's. I mean, yeah, it sounds encapsulated citric acid. That's like you can't do a shelf stable product without some kind of, you know, you got to get the pH. That's for the pH balance, right? So like. So that's the one thing where it's like we just, you know, it was really unavoidable. But Brandon, in his research, we actually did find another product that is a more pure form of a pH reducer. It's out of Europe.
So you're going to use that.
So we will. But the problem is that when you see it on the label, it says natural flavoring. So that's how they label it, like the USD. Like, so that scares a lot. Like, when you say natural flavoring, they're like, well, what the hell is that? So, like, until people get educated, like that'll come. Like, we're going to, like, obviously we had to get these things off. Like, I'm not a wealthy man. So, like, I have a lot of invested into this. Mm-hmm. So, like, we had to get something launched and get rolling with it to start to get some cash flow going.
I think this is great.
Yeah, so. Like, But we made it as pure, healthy, and like we feel we have the cleanest stick on the market.
Okay, because that was going to be my other question. Yeah. Is there somebody else that's a big brand out there that has a clean stick not really?
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
Like, there's like I have buddies in the space.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah. So, in fact, one of the guys that is in the space that built a huge successful business, I got him started in the cattle industry 20 years ago.
Oh.
So, yeah.
There you go.
And then he, you know, he built a successful brand name beef stick company and sold it for big bucks. And, you know, so yeah. But so, like, this has been an ongoing thought of mine now for 7 years. And finally, like, I finally came to the conclusion that, like, I'm so busy, I can't do this by myself. So that's when I brought Adam on and I got two other partners and we decided let's collectively get this thing done.
Okay.
Like, I can't.
You just don't have enough time in the day.
I can't, like, yeah, like, there's, you know, between the ranch and everything else, there's only so many. And I try to be a family man too, you know, like as soon as I get done here, I'm busing ass to Western Nebraska to watch my daughter in a band, you know, she's on honors band. So it's like, yeah, so it'll be 85 on I-80.
We're probably pushing it.
No, you're good. Don't worry about that.
You've realized that you've got something that, is worth putting that investment in terms of like bringing some other folks in and just figuring out how to make this work. It's worth the effort.
Well, the thing is it's really making people, it's more than just a beef stick. Like that's what we say, like Sandhill Slim is more than just a beef stick because we're not just about a healthy beef stick. We're about preserving the prairie, livestock management, like making people understand, fall in love with the Sandhills Rancher and what we do to provide that food.
Yeah.
You know, like this is coming from cattle that are your neighbor, the person in the Sandhills that's out there, you know. So, like, this is, it's more than a beef stick. Like, we want to preserve the aquifer. Like, we're regenerative ranchers. Me and the people I source beef from, Like, we're all about preserving pasture, making the soil better, you know, making our livestock better, you know, just enhancing life in general. You know, like, one of the things I say in my mission statement is, like, we want to preserve life and preserve life and build up God's creation and be stewards of it, whether we're talking about the little microbes that are microscopic to the butterflies, to the deer, to the, like, that's what we do. Like, we, that's what God called cattle ranchers to do. Like, we care about all life.
You know what's funny to me? Hopefully I'm not stepping on my own dinger with this, but
I think it's
kind of funny. You come walking in and like, you're so unassuming in terms of these things that you're talking about. So what are, I think what people are taught to think about someone who's concerned about all the things that you just thought about, you don't look like that to me visually. I'm not, so let me get to where I'm going, because I'm probably sounding like an asshole right now. So you walk in, you know, you're Copenhagen dipping, you're a Bush Light guy, you're a big dude, you know, you're a college sports player, all these kinds of things. And you're like, this guy, this rancher, you know, he's your typical rancher. He's out there beating cattle's ass and kicking them around and running them to market and, you know, just making as much money as he can and all the things. And then we go through all these stories and we go, no, actually, this dude's like kind of a little bit of a softy.
He's actually a gentle giant.
He's into all of these things. And then when you hear the stories behind him and you realize, you know, how all these things work and how this all comes together, it makes you want to be a part of it or want to partake in it, you know, so much more.
Yeah.
If that, hopefully I brought all that together.
No, I totally agree. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're aligning here with a lot of things. Well, I don't know. There's just something about it. I was like, oh man. Well,
the goal is really to make people, like, when I first started this, honestly, like, some of the people we have doing marketing for us elsewhere, I was like, I don't even want people to know my name. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm doing this for the rancher and the, you know, and they're like, Josh, you have to tell that story. I was like, well, fuck.
There has to be a name.
People have to feel some kind of connection to it,
but,
for sure.
But
that whole story too. And that whole story, you haven't even touched on how healthy this is compared to the alternative. And we say this all the time, especially on like the hunting front. Nobody cares more about the environment, the habitat, than the rancher, than the farmer, than the hunter. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, that gets lost in it, too, where Disney movies from a long time ago, the hunter's a bad guy that just wants to kill everything with a gun. No, that's so far away from what's really going on so many fronts. And, you're big, burly baseball player, you know, and cattle rancher, and so we just put you in this box, and we know what you're all about. Well, no, and that's where I love doing this. We actually get to hear it firsthand that, no, this guy cares about the environment. He cares about the well-being. These sticks.
Animal welfare.
Yeah, they're animal welfare. They taste, big reason they taste so good, I believe in that stress stuff. Now, that sounds a little foo-foo, but I think there's a lot to it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's all good stuff. Like, it's like you're kind of organic-y, which not using that, God-fearing, like all these things. I mean, who wouldn't want this?
Yeah, but, so it's you know, I've been, like, some guys that are in the industry that know me are like, man, you're borderline a liberal tree hugger. Like, you know, because I give a shit about, like, I fucking care about the future generations of this industry. Like, we have to take care of the shit that we do.
Right.
You know, like, we can't abuse that ground. Like, and greed has gone way too, like, greed is a bad thing for agriculture.
Absolutely.
Because, like, they have to push that land to the absolute max with, you know, regardless of what they do to it to make that profit. And that's like where I'm like, okay, let's figure out a better goddamn way to do this. Like, there's got to be a system by which, you know, and growing food instead of fuel is a big part of that, I think.
And like, and in the end, a lot of that, like that playbook was already written a long time ago. We've just gone so far from it. We've strayed so far from it. You're bringing a lot of that back.
Yes.
I mean, that's the goal. The goal is to make the consumer understand that, you know, and every farmer and rancher I know loves his land, loves his cattle. Like, there's, like, you'll get shot if you mess with that. No different than if you tried to screw a guy's wife. He's going to shoot you. Well, you try and trying to screw a guy's land up, he's going to just shoot your ass or his cattle or, you know, they love their land. They love their cattle. They love their operation. And that's all we have is our passion. You know, that's our passion.
Sure.
You know,
so, it's kind of like old schoolish.
Yeah.
Right. Like
it's old schoolish, but this is why,
this is the new school.
We have this podcast called Common Folk, because it's more common than people realize.
Okay.
We're talking to a common folk guy right here, right? This is an everyday Nebraska raised dude that is doing cool shit. And there's a lot of people out there doing cool shit like you as well. It's just not, it's not talked about as much.
Exactly.
And that's why we do what we do here. Before we close with like where to find and all these kinds of things, I just like to ask people sometimes, is there anything that you want to talk about or wish that we had asked you, or maybe you thought coming in here like, ah, there's a couple of things I want to cover, anything that we missed? He's gonna push the mic over to Adam.
Nope.
No, oh, come on, Adam.
We've heard from Adam. We know him.
No, but I mean, honestly, I think that, like, appreciate you guys having me in here to do this. Obviously, when you're building a brand, you need these kind of platforms to build it. You know, nobody knows jack shit about Sandhill Slims or even what it is.
But, yeah.
You know, but so, you know, obviously getting into these venues where we have a platform to get this brand out there, because we do feel that, like, it's, if you want a good, healthy snack that is 100% Nebraska from womb to tomb, like, it's to my knowledge, it's like there's other people that are doing a healthy beef stick, but they don't, it's, this is different.
This is different. Yeah.
You know, so.
It is so good.
But, you guys are all in it too. I mean, like this is what you would expect to see if people watch the video on YouTube. This is what you'd expect to see from a company that's, very professional, you know, as far as like your presentation and all the ways that they're going to see it presented on the shelf. So this isn't like some fly by night side project that you're trying to do. This is not in like Ziploc baggies.
That's what I was thinking.
Like our logistics guy, Ryan in Iowa, he's been probably with me as a partner the longest. Like that was one of our struggles, was like, we have to find, like, logistically, we have to get in the right venues to go to 300,000 to 400,000 packages a month. And that's like no little small smokehouse in Western Nebraska can handle that kind of volume. So we had to, like, so this time when we launched it, I told Ryan and now Adam and Brandon, I said, I'm not screwing around this time, guys. This time it's like, we're not, like, we're going big or we're going home. Like, this is a, like, we're going to do this right. We're going to do it big. And if it don't work, then...
then you know
I'm
you tried.
Then I'm done with it. Yeah. But at least I'm going with, I'm going for it this time. So
So the the website is sandhillsslims.com. That's where you can go on. You can directly purchase there. Is that where you would point everybody if they're interested?
Yeah, sandhillsslims.com is definitely, you know, our direct website to order directly online. We have a 30... We have different... amount you can get, but like our best value is the subscription, where like every month a 30 pack shows up at your door.
And now is this a 30 pack?
No, so this is our, this is like our wholesale caddy. So this is what you'll see in the store. So like when you go on our website and order from our website, sorry, you're not going to get a pretty caddy. You're just going to get a nice bag, you know, with the product shipped to
sorry,
you.
Not sorry.
Yeah. But so like this is just for like storefront stuff.
So do you have it in some stores around you guys?
That's in different locations. And hopefully, like, one of the places that we'd really like to get hooked up with is Cashway Distributing. Obviously they're a Nebraska company. We're like, if we could get in with Cashway,
so anybody who's listening, if they've got any contacts with Cashway,
because I mean, we have production now to where we can literally go to, you know, we can amp it up to, you know, we can go to 200,000 to 300,000 packages a month if need be. So, nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Are you guys on like social media and stuff like that? Can folks find stuff about you there?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook page. We're working on
Instagram.
I got a good buddy of mine that does a lot of TikTok stuff. We'll be on TikTok. So we're going to get some stuff. Like, we'll have, like, you know, I'll do videos.
TikTok shop, or whatever.
Yeah, like all, I mean, so like that's all stuff of like, you know, getting those brand familiarized with the people is just getting on those platforms, you know, obviously. But Yeah, sweet. It's like cool. My problem is like I know how to communicate a message to ranchers. Like I am one. Mm-hmm. I can talk, you know. My problem is like how do you communicate what we're trying to do to a, you know, 45-year-old single mom in an apartment in Atlanta or sure. you know, so like that's like I don't know how to talk to those people. You know, like it's not, you know, it's a whole nother.
Yeah. Get in front of them, yeah.
Yeah, so like I will rely on Adam and my partners and other people to help communicate that message, mm-hmm. you know, yep.
So on
guys
the,
like you guys.
Yeah.
On the website, if folks are interested in trying the stuff out and you want to purchase, we've got an exclusive Common Folk discount. We're talking with Adam about that earlier. So if you go on there at checkout, use the code Common Folk, that correct? 10% off, get you 10% off your order. Can you program it in two ways where it's like Common Space Folk and Common Folk in case people use one or the other?
Yep.
So either way, however you want to spell it, one word, two words, whatever, that's going to get you 10% off. Definitely worth trying. I think you're probably going to get hooked.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I can't even eat some of the other stuff. They make my stomach churn.
There's no aftertaste. No. There's no grease in your mouth or nothing. Like, we're pretty
really good.
Like I will say, like this is, I'm very proud of this little venture and I hope it goes. Yeah, I do. Yep.
So, super cool, man.
Yep. It's great.
Well, it's been great having you, man. I got to close with one other thing, and this is pretty fitting for what you've got going on. Have you ever heard of Barn Owl cameras?
Yeah.
The company Barn Owl?
Yeah, I've heard of their cameras, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think they do security and then they do like
stuff,
calving barn stuff
So it's right up your alley. So we've partnered with them. They help support the show. Barnowl.tech. So exactly like you said, if you're looking for some security cameras, they kind of look like a game cam, cellular connected. You can have solar panels to power them. You can have them wherever you want. You know, you might want to monitor a watering hole or whatever the case may be out mm-hmm. out at the ranch. So go to the Barn Owl website, barnowl.tech. Use the code FARMFOCUSED, all one word, FOCUSED, and you get 15% off of Barn Owl camera systems. We're going to have their founder on pretty soon as well. He's from Eastern Colorado. So
sweet.
Yeah, cool company. But definitely applies to folks like you and stuff that you guys are doing. So what else? Anything? Yeah, no?
I think we covered a lot.
We did.
Yeah. I learned a lot.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. No, this is a, like, we're driving. I was like, man, this is kind of like my house. We're driving out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Only there's trees. There's no trees at my house.
Right. So. Yeah. Out in the sand hills.
But, yeah.
No,
cool, man. We'll have to come out and visit you sometime. I'd love to get out there.
You're welcome. Yep. Welcome to come. Yeah.
It'd
so
be great.
That's the other thing. Like, I'll be honest, like, for the listeners and people out there, like we don't put, like, you will never know where I live unless you're invited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. Like, it's a burden on my mom and dad. Like, I'm doing a lot of stuff outside the box here. So, like, I don't want to put that burden on the rest of my family.
I get it.
Yeah. But you guys are welcome. Yeah.
Appreciate
Just
it.
Just get a hold of Adam.
Yeah. I mean, you could put us to work, too. I could learn even more. Yeah. We're workers.
Yeah.
Andy's like, oh, no, I don't want to do this.
Andy's been down that road.
No, honestly, like, you Google my name and bad and good shit comes up. So
yeah.
I think that's everybody, right?
Yeah. That means it's real.
Yep. So
all right, man. Josh Freiberger with Haig Angus Ranch and the Sandhill Slims meat sticks. Check them out.
Go and to the Adam, website. Quiet Adam over here.
Adam over here, quiet hooking us up with the interview. Appreciate you coming, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And again, don't forget the code Common Folk. Get 10% off Sandhills Slims. And I think that's all we got.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.